You are listening to The Lowest Deep, a horror story written by John Fitch, based on a screenplay by John Fitch and Mitch Smith, performed by Matthew Johnson, music by Stephen Bias. This is episode 1.
A small university campus sleeps under a cool southeastern fall night sky. Quaint, well-kept pre-World War II buildings. Light from street lamps pierces pockets of fog. Tree-lined sidewalks surround a tidy green quad, blue in the moonlight. A university security truck eases down the main road past a massive white cross. American flag, Christian flag. The truck's lights strike a welcome sign. Deussen University, established 1890, holiness unto the Lord. The well-worn white Ford rolls to a stop at the university's physical plant. A single red brick chimney stabs at the starless sky. A hulking male figure exits the truck and lurches past the building's foundation toward a raised mound in the earth. Crickets chirp, muffled turbines roar. The figure approaches the mound, an entrance to an underground facility. A sign, danger, no trespassing. He unlocks the heavy iron-barred gate, pulls it open. He ducks inside, props the gate open, glances out at the campus. It's quiet, empty. Satisfied, he leans against one wall, produces a flask, takes a long swig, lights a cigarette. In the light of the flame, he spies a piece of graffiti on the opposite wall. It fades as the lighter dies. He removes a flashlight from his belt. The beam illuminates the cement wall. A shape carved into the grime. A swirling line with arrows on each end. A deep, resonant rumbling echoes from further down the passageway. The figure starts, drops the flashlight, reaches for it. The cigarette slides out of his hand, falls to the ground. The sound, again, closer this time. The concrete vibrates beneath his feet. He snatches up the flashlight, shines it into the downward sloping corridor. Just the hazy beam of light. He stamps the cigarette, stashes the flask. His hands shake. A muffled, blood-curdling scream rises from the deep. The figure shoves the gate open, rushes out, slams it shut, fumbles with a lock. Another scream. He drops the keys. Urine runs down his pant leg. He snatches up the keys, jams the right one in the lock. The bolt slides home. He dashes for the truck, starts it up, peels away. Bright sunshine falls on a well-kept, aging dormitory. Naomi Arkin struggles, alone, up the front steps with a large, tattered suitcase. Naomi exudes energy, big personality in a small frame, an easy smile for everyone. Things are better when she's around. Rebecca Kimmel hurries down the steps to help. She's sharp, savvy, always a step ahead, yet a deep sadness lurks behind every smile and jab.
Naomi? Rebecca? Yes, hi. Hi! Oh my God, you look so much more like Oliver in person. Is that supposed to be a compliment? I'm just giving you shit. I'll take that.
Rebecca takes Naomi's suitcase, hauls it toward the front door.
You have your cousin's sense of humor as well.
Well, he loves you.
I don't hear from him much lately.
Oh God, me either. He's so busy these days, Mr. Ivy League. Rebecca opens the front door, motions for Naomi to enter.
Thanks so much for rooming with me. I was worried about coming here, not knowing anyone.
Don't worry. I'll make sure you know all the cool people, starting with me. She flashes a winning smile. Naomi laughs. A tiny, well-kept room. Old school. Bunk bed, two dressers, two desks, a tiny private bathroom, a large, shared closet. Naomi sifts through her suitcase on the lower bunk. She pulls out two framed photographs. In one, Naomi, smiling, stands in between Martha and Brian, a white couple in their 40s. The other, an old photo, a close-up of a young black woman, Evelyn. She gingerly places the frames on the nightstand. Rebecca finishes her makeup in the bathroom. She calls through the open door.
Naomi, you can unpack your stuff later. We have to get to chapel. What time is chapel?
In 5 minutes. Naomi shuts the suitcase, moves toward the bathroom.
Okay, I'm ready.
Rebecca sizes her up, grimaces. Naomi wears a tie-dye t-shirt, blue jeans rolled up at the bottom, flip-flops, pierced nose, ear gauges.
You can't wear that.
Naomi laughs.
I'm not here to impress anyone, Rebecca. Rest assured, I am not interested in that kind of attention.
No, I mean, you're not allowed to wear that. You didn't read the university code of conduct when you signed it?
Not all the way through. I mean, I know they're like church strict here, but is there a dress code? Every day?
Rebecca shakes her head. Oh, honey. Moments later, hundreds of students dart through the southern heat toward the chapel. Women in full-length dresses, men in slacks, long sleeves. Many carry Bibles. Naomi and Rebecca stride across campus. Both wear modest sundresses. A Star of David dangles from Naomi's neck. Rebecca glances at her. You look great.
Oh, thank you. You're totally a lifesaver.
I'm glad that we're the same size. My closet is now at your disposal. Naomi beams. Some students stare at her, surprised to see her dark face. Others glare at her necklace, her piercings. Don't worry about them. They're sheltered. No sex, no drugs, no alcohol. It melts their brains. Naomi chuckles.
It's cool. They're just curious.
One passing student glares at Naomi's nose ring, smirks at her, mutters something. Rebecca catches his eye, shoots daggers.
What? What are you looking at?
The student shrivels, slinks past. See? Melted brains.
Meh, I chose to be here. Buy the ticket, take the ride, right?
Rebecca chuckles. They pass the library. Naomi glances up at a large cross on top of the stone structure.
I've been on service mission trips where I felt like an outsider.
Me too.
Where?
Oh, just a couple weeks in Haiti. You?
My last one was in Honduras for 3 months.
Wow, how was that?
Amazing. Beautiful. But the cockroaches, they were that big. I still have nightmares about them.
She holds up 2 fingers, 4 inches apart. Our cockroaches are bigger here.
What?
Rebecca smirks. The human kind. You'll see what I mean. A beautiful wooden chapel with a large main floor, a balcony, stained glass, biblical scenes. On stage, a massive pipe organ. A large wooden altar adorned with crosses, lettering, Holiness unto the Lord. Behind the altar, in front of an empty choir loft, the university administrators, Dr. Michael McKenzie, Dr. Tom Pitts, Dr. Dana Rice, decked out in ceremonial academic wear. 2,000 well-dressed undergraduate students sit in individually numbered seats. A sea of white faces. A smattering of smiling faculty. Some grim-faced staff. Dr. Casper Gerfried, a short, dour man, pounds out the final refrain of a hymn. The music stops. McKenzie approaches the podium, walking with a limp. He commands the room with a quiet confidence. Young for his age, fit, charismatic, some may even say handsome. He adjusts the microphone.
Welcome, everyone, to another blessed year at Deussen University. For those joining us for the first time, the ones we used to call freshmen, apparently that's too politically incorrect to say these days, the crowd chuckles softly. McKenzie smiles. We say you are welcome indeed. We are glad you're here to join us in our pursuit of holiness and adherence to God's law.
Naomi listens from the third row, Rebecca beside her. She opens a notebook, scrawls something, shows it to Rebecca.
President?
Rebecca glances at the note, gives a tiny nod.
And that takes personal sacrifice, which is not always comfortable. The good news is that God's grace is available to all. And as he has forgiven, we are also called to forgive and to accept each other, warts and all.
Naomi leans close to Rebecca, takes a breath to whisper. Rebecca elbows her, grabs the notebook, writes,
"Shh, no talking."
She glances at an elderly woman sitting in the front row of the balcony. Naomi follows her gaze to the chapel checker, a woman in her 70s. She stares daggers at them, makes a note in an attendance book. Rebecca mutters under her breath,
"Shit."
Naomi shrinks. Rebecca sits up straight. Naomi feels someone staring at her. She sneaks a peek to the left. She catches Matthew Doherty staring. He's thin, pale. He blushes, smiles, looks away. Naomi turns back to face the stage. Rebecca elbows her again.
"Even those who have hurt you the most, you must forgive them. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7.
He glances at Rebecca. She averts his gaze. Naomi notices.
"Now, Dr. Pitts would like to recognize some of our new scholarship recipients."
Pitts takes the podium, a small, red-faced man with a bright smile. Like Mackenzie, he wears an expensive suit. Rebecca scribbles on Naomi's notebook. "Dr. Pitts, Dean of Students." Frowny face.
"Good morning. First, we welcome the latest winner of our National Institute for Comparative Religious Studies, Junior Fellowship, Naomi Arkin."
Naomi shifts in her seat. Rebecca smiles at her.
"Naomi, please stand. Where are you?"
Rebecca nudges Naomi. She rises halfway, feels hundreds of eyes upon her.
Good to see you. We've been working on diversity initiatives for quite some time now. Welcome, Naomi."
Naomi blushes, sinks to her chair. Rebecca rolls her eyes, whispers, "Sorry, he's an idiot."
"Next, we welcome Ken Smith, winner of the Heckle Award for..."
Pitt's voice fades out as Naomi catches a few more stares from students. She sinks further into the chair. A large lunch crowd works its way through the cafeteria. Naomi and Rebecca sit alone at a long table, trays in front of them. Rebecca picks at her food. Naomi takes a bite of hers, grimaces. Rebecca smirks. "We're not known for our cuisine here." Naomi forces another bite down.
"I try to be grateful for what I have."
Rebecca spots a group of students at a nearby table, touches Naomi's hand.
"There, those are what we call Deweys."
She motions with her head. Naomi sneaks a look. 6 students settle onto the table. They look like they were constantly bullied in high school. They place their Bibles on the table.
"Ah, so they're..."
"Nerds, dorks, squares, homeschoolers."
"That's kind of a reductionist stereotype, don't you think?"
"No, they're all right. I mean, I used to kind of like them. They're just true believers in Deucin. Never question anything." She notices something across the room.
"Oh, there's some bougies."
"Bougies?" She glances around. Rebecca nudges her under the table.
"Don't make eye contact."
"Why?" Rebecca motions with her head, her eyes. Naomi follows her side eye. 4 students wait in line, laughing. Preppies. They're the worst. Local upper and upper middle class douchebags from places like Amber Woods, raised in McMansions and megachurches. Their Jesus is white and owns an assault rifle.
"Oh."
She sneaks a longer look. Lots of blonde hair, suntans. "And then there are the hostages. We didn't choose Deucin. It was chosen for us." She nods towards a group of students walking through the entrance. They're a little grungy around the edges. Wariness gleams in their eyes.
"Why don't you all just go somewhere else?"
"It's not that easy." A lacrosse ball drops into her tray, tipping over her glass, spraying ice, food, water everywhere.
"God damn it!"
She stands. Colton, a bougie, runs over. He's tall, fit, huge smile, perfect teeth.
"Oh, shit! Sorry!"
"Colton, you idiot!"
He laughs, covers his mouth. His buddy Wesley looms over his shoulder, snickering.
"Dude, I am so sorry. Seriously. I meant for that to hit the table, not the tray.
He picks up a handful of napkins, wipes the table. Why are you such a child? Rebecca snatches the wet napkins out of his hand, tosses them at him. He shrinks at the rebuke.
Sorry. I was trying to help.
He turns to Naomi, offers a big smile.
Is this your new roommate?
Naomi nods. A tiny smile. Rebecca pushes him away.
I like her. Don't ruin this.
Jeez. All right, all right.
He backs away.
We still on for later?
Rebecca shakes her head, gathers her things. Colton frowns, tries to pull her aside.
Hey, what's up? Come on, let's talk.
They exchange hard glances.
Text me.
She turns to Naomi.
Let's get out of here.
Naomi and Rebecca wander through a herd of students toward a large classroom building.
What's his deal?
Colton? He's harmless. He's just not very smart.
Are you two like...
Rebecca frowns, shakes her head. He's too immature for me.
I wondered. What's your next class? Western religions with Dr. Torres.
Rebecca raises her eyebrows.
Ah, the new professor.
The boys like her. The chimes echo across the quad.
Hey, you better get. I'll see you back at the room tonight.
She smiles, walks off. Naomi calls after her.
Rebecca!
Rebecca turns.
I'm really glad you're my roommate.
Rebecca smiles, makes a prayer gesture with her hands.
I hope you still feel that way at midterm.
Naomi laughs, speeds toward the classroom building. A small traditional classroom. 2 dozen students zone, gaze out of the large windows onto the picturesque campus. Dr. Petra Torres paces in front of a chalkboard. She's young, enthusiastic, lectures with passion. Naomi, seated near the front, eats it up.
Okay, so would anyone like to read today's discussion passage? Page 6 of your study guide.
The students avoid eye contact. Naomi raises her hand.
Wonderful. Go ahead, Naomi. Me miserable. Which way shall I fly? Infinite wrath and infinite despair. Which way I fly is hell. Myself am hell. And in the lowest deep, a lower deep, still threatening to devour me, opens wide. To which the hell I suffer seems a heaven.
Good. So, Milton here in Paradise Lost bridges the gap between the Neoplatonic conception of hell and the Catholic canon of the time.
A hand shoots up. A student near the front of the room, Aaron.
Professor, I'm sorry. I really don't follow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aaron, right? Did you all not cover Augustine in the prerequisite to this class?
Several students reply,
no.
Oh, okay. What about Paradise Lost? Anything on that at all?
Jeff, sitting in the back row, pipes up.
We mostly just sang hymns.
The class chuckles. Mandy, sitting in front of him, turns, glares.
Jeff, Dr. Hamblin is a man of God. He is a great professor.
Jeff scoffs.
Dr. Hamblin.
Torres cuts in.
Okay, okay. Anyone want to discuss this passage?
Naomi raises her hand.
Go ahead, please. It's Satan. He's been cast out of heaven, and here he's saying he carries hell within him. It's not a specific place. It's a state of being, like a psychological or moral state.
Exactly. The passage questions the locality of hell, the idea of hell being a real, concrete place on the earth or under the earth. Rather, it's the experience of being shut off from God, a state of non-being, which to most believers would be, well, hell.
Aaron pipes up.
But Professor, hell is real.
As we were discussing, that depends on what you mean by hell.
Aaron shifts in his chair, raises his voice.
Hell is hell. It's the holy word of the Lord. God's word is not open to some woke, liberal interpretation by humans.
You mean like the woke interpretation of the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, when a bunch of men designed the entire religion based on a majority vote of elites?
That's not...
Naomi shoots back. Or did you mean your own interpretation of a theology that has been debated by believers for thousands of years?
A tense silence. Everyone stares at Naomi. She struggles to compose herself. Chimes from the clock tower rattle the closed windows. The students scramble, head for the door.
And that's our time. See you on Thursday.
She grins at Naomi, turns to erase the board.
Professor, I'm sorry. I just get passionate about... Naomi, I read your scholarship application essay. Really?
Torres turns.
It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Grad school level. Thank you.
Torres smiles. Naomi beams, slides out of the room. A small neoclassical library reading room. Golden hour light blasts through the high windows. A dozen students peck at the computer stations. Serious, studious, not an open seat available. Naomi treads past. This is exactly what she wanted. Silence. A few students glance from their screens as she passes. They smile. Dewey's. Naomi returns the expression, takes the stairs down into the reference room. The reference area is cramped with computer stations. Busy students. A sour-faced librarian is perched at an old-school reference desk. Naomi gazes into a desktop screen. She types, hits return. On screen, an open browser window. No results. Please try another search. She grabs her laptop from her bag, opens it, tries a search. No results. Please try another search. Naomi approaches the main desk, holding her laptop. The librarian ignores her, stares at her screen. Naomi clears her throat.
Excuse me, I can't get the search engine to work on that station or on my laptop.
The woman glances at Naomi's computer, back at her screen.
What are you searching for?
Well, it's for a paper,
the librarian types.
What keywords?
Milton, Paradise Lost, Satan, Evil, Hell.
What class is this for?
It's Western Religions 2.
The instructor name.
Why does that matter?
The librarian glares at her.
What's the name?
Dr. Torres.
And your name?
Naomi. Arkin.
Okay, I'll put in a request to bypass the filter.
The what?
The woman removes her reading glasses, stares at Naomi.
The university filters certain content on the campus network. The combination of those words probably triggered the filter.
Naomi stares in disbelief. The librarian types.
The request is in. Should take about 24 hours to process. Is there anything else?
No.
Naomi turns toward the exit. Stops.
Is that filter for all campus stations?
It's for all internet on campus, including wireless. You won't be able to bypass it on your laptop.
Naomi's cell phone rings. The librarian glowers. Naomi mutes it, rushes for the exit.
Sorry.
Naomi dashes out of the library, stops at one of the tall concrete columns framing the entrance, hits answer.
Mom, sorry, I was in the library.
Hi, honey. Are you having fun?
A beat.
Shit. She's drunk. Yeah, I guess. It's different.
It's the South, honey. It's going to be different.
Naomi watches as a group of students play frisbee in the quad. Another group sits in a circle, singing worship songs in the twilight. A happy couple strolls by, hand in hand.
Well, my roommate is cool, so...
That's great. You're going to do so well. I'm proud. A proud mama.
Naomi notices headlights on the main drive. The campus security truck stops near the front of the library, idles. Naomi steps behind the column.
Mom, you sound kind of tired.
A silent beat.
Mom?
Yeah. I'm just a little tired.
the slurring is worse. Mom, I gotta go. I have to meet some people.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye. Call me.
Naomi steps out from behind the column. The truck kicks into gear, crawls away. The women's dorm. A dark lounge in the middle of the third floor. Old carpet, worn couches, chairs. Naomi joins a circle of young women sitting on the floor, some with Bibles, notebooks on their laps. Olympia, the dorm's resident assistant, smiles. She's officious but kind. She turns to Sarah, a new Dewey.
Sarah?
Sarah blushes, speaks quickly.
Hi, I'm an elementary ed major from Central City, and I just want to grow in the Lord while I'm here.
Kimberly, a well-coiffed, glamorous bougie, smirks.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Are you here to get an education degree and an MRS degree?
Olympia glares at her.
Kimberly? I don't understand.
A Mrs. degree. A husband.
Sarah blushes.
It's fine, sweetie. You're fine.
Kimberly laughs. Olympia shoots darts, turns to Naomi.
And you're Naomi. Congratulations.
Rebecca's new roommate?
Naomi smiles, nods.
She's great. I think we're really going to get along.
That's funny. You seem so different from each other.
Naomi turns to Kimberly, puzzled. Olympia jumps in.
When Christ is the center of our lives, it's easy to get along with everyone, isn't it?
Kimberly rolls her eyes. Heather and Emma, two Dewey Wallflowers, nod.
She's changed a lot since she went to Haiti.
Heather and Emma nod again.
Well, we're not going to gossip. Where is she, anyway? I haven't seen her since class. She said she'd be here.
Well, if she doesn't make curfew, she's fucked.
Kimberly!
Well, she already has 2 strikes. Just saying.
Heather and Emma share nervous glances.
Oh, my.
Naomi studies Olympia's face, a trace of fear.
It's fine.
Kimberly titters.
3 demerits and you're in front of the discipline committee.
Olympia cuts her off.
Which is very forgiving in most cases.
Kimberly snorts.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to do tonight's scripture reading?
Sarah?
Okay, James 4:7.
Naomi opens her Greek English Bible. Kimberly eyes her. Sarah begins reading.
Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
2 hours later, Naomi sleeps in the bottom bunk. A voice leaps from the darkness.
Naomi! Hey!
Naomi opens her eyes. Rebecca kneels beside the bed.
Thank God you're here.
Come on.
Rebecca grabs her hand. Naomi follows Rebecca up the decrepit fire escape. A star-filled sky illuminates the campus below. The stairs, railings tremble. Her pace slows as she climbs. Rebecca disappears at the top. Naomi climbs a few more rungs, stops, shivers. A hand reaches down from the roof. Naomi and Rebecca sit on the tarred roof, gazing up at the sky. Clouds drift, cicadas, crickets cover perfect silence. Fog creeps over the ground below. Rebecca, still in her chapel dress, shivers. Her voice shakes slightly.
I use the fire escape when I don't want to swipe my key card. There's no trace of me coming in late, so no curfew violation.
Ah.
Naomi, I'm sorry to scare you. She stops. Something shifts in her face. She's distracted, windblown. She continues. I have to go back out. But I'll be back before morning. What's going on?
Rebecca shakes her head. Her eyes are glassy.
I'll have to fill you in later, but I need you to promise me something.
Of course. If my parents, or the administrators, or anyone ever asks anything about me, tell them nothing. Nothing. Okay?
Promise? I won't. I promise. I swear. But is something going to happen?
Rebecca brushes away tears. It's fine. It'll be fine. The moon pops out from behind a cloud. Naomi notices scratches on Rebecca's hands, bruises on her arms.
Did someone hurt you?
Rebecca grabs Naomi's arm, squeezes.
You're one of the good ones, Naomi. You are.
She stands, heads for the fire escape.
Wait, shouldn't we call someone? I'll be back by dawn.
Naomi stands, watches Rebecca rush down the fire escape. She reaches the ground, dashes into the shadows. Naomi opens her mouth to call for her. Stops.
This concludes episode 1 of The Lowest Deep. Sound recording and design by Noah Hall, Cameron Phillips, Jacob Holtzclaw, and John Fitch. Additional vocal work by Cameron Phillips. Copyright 2022. All rights reserved. For more about the series, go to thelowestdeep.com.